So this is going to be the last one of Taste and See, and I hope you guys have enjoyed it, and I hope that you've learned from it and grown from it and decided to step out in some areas that you haven't before in the past. And today we're going to talk about trusting God. Last week we talked about obedience, and I don't know about you, but I had some opportunities to test my obedience this week, like truly, honestly. And do you know what? I did good, just so y'all know. I did good. I mean, yay, Pastor did what he was supposed to do. That's great. So today we're going to talk about taste and see that the Lord is good to trust. How many know it's okay to trust God. It is good to trust God and the benefits that will come. And you say, well, what do you trust God with? And my response pretty much is everything, right? You can trust him with your health, your kids, your future, your money, your stuff, your life. With everything that you have, we need to trust God. Amen? The definition of trust is a firm belief in the reliability, truth, or ability, or strength of someone or something. So it is a firm belief in the reliability, the truth, the ability, the strength of someone or something. When we say that we trust God, we say that God is reliable and that if he said it, he's going to do it, right? We can put our trust in that. How many of you know trust is one of those things that sometimes it's hard to gain, first of all, and it's once you lose trust because of one thing, it's gone. You guys understand that? So you can do a million things right and build up trust with someone and then do something dumb, the one thing, and it destroys trust. So that the next time that you say, hey, I'm going to do this, there's doubt that comes in the hearts and minds of people, right? That's people, right? The scripture tells us that people will let us down, but that God never will. God never will. We need to trust in him. We're saying that we trust in the reliability of God, that we trust in the truth of God and his word, that we trust in the ability, we trust in the strength of God. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 through 6 says, it says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him and he will make your paths straight. Right? But we want our paths to be straight, but we don't want to lean on God and trust him in areas. We want to trust ourselves. We want to trust the people that are around us. We want to trust the government to provide for us, right? We want to trust all these different things instead of trusting God. And the promise of it is, again, you go back with obedience like we talked about last week. When I put my trust in him and I start following him, it says he makes our path straight. Who makes our path crooked? Us. Us. We do. We decide, oh, well, this is shiny. Let's go this way, right? Do you understand that it's difficult to walk according to the word of God? It's not easy. It's not easy, right? Why? Why is it not easy? Because God makes it difficult. No. He says my yoke is easy, right? My burden is light. We make it difficult because of our nature that we were born with. Us wanting to do other things. Us wanting to have acceptance. Do you know, a lot of times we do what we do because we want to be accepted by the people around us. And so we listen to what the world has to say. We listen to what other Christians who are struggling with what they're doing in their lives as well. How many of you know, being a Christian doesn't mean you're perfect. It means you're struggling to be holy. You're doing what you can do to be holy. You're following what you can do. But it is a difficult path. It's like, okay, so we went to, this will work. We went to Aquatica the other day, and there's this rapids that you ride on. You can wear a vest, but you can't take a tube or anything in it. And what happens is if you get along the edge, that sucker will shoot you. and you'll be going fast. Don't put your feet down. It'll hurt, right? So you just hold your feet up, and you're just floating the thing, and you're going around. Well, there were two little girls whose dad got out with one of the kids. Problem is, to get out, you got to go by the edge, right? Because it turns like this, and then there's a way to get out, and then it just keeps going. Well, there were two little girls that the dad got out with one of the kids, and they were, "My dad, my dad." So I was trying to get in. I tried to grab them and hold them and walk them back up the... It wasn't happening. I couldn't do it. It was difficult to go against the stream, right? Against the flow of what's happening. What ends up happening is we want to do what God wants us to do. He doesn't put a bunch of crazy heavy stuff on us. He just says, hey, I'm there for you. I will help you and I will lead you through different things. But the world is pulling us this way and it's difficult to walk against the current. It's difficult for us to walk the way that we know that we should. And what happens is we stop trusting in what God says, and we trust in what the world says, what our friends say, what the doctors say. Listen, I'm not against doctors. Like I said, if I fall down, man, y'all pray for me as someone calls 911. You know, that's how I feel about the situation. That's what I want y'all to do, okay? But it's not that I don't trust him. He gives us certain things. He gives us, look, God gave us medicines so that we could be fixed, right? So that we could undo some damages that we've done. Because most of what we have in our life is because we've done it to ourselves. Just be honest, right? He gave us doctors, people who studied the Bible, to understand how he created us and how it works to do certain things. But don't put your trust solely in the doctors. Don't look to them before you look to God and to his healing power and what he wants to do. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Don't lean on your own understanding. Why do we not lean on our own understanding? We put the other scripture that goes with it. It says there's a way that seems right to a man, but the end is destruction. We need to trust God. We need to acknowledge him and allow him to make our path straight. Listen to this thought about God. To know him is to love him. When you know God, you love him. To love him is to trust him. To trust him is to obey him. To obey him is to be blessed by him. That's the progression of what happens. Think about it in your life. Think about what the word says. When I know God, I love him. What does Jesus say the most important thing to do is love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind. And your neighbors as yourself. When I love him, when you love somebody, you trust them. Right? Some of you are like, no, there was that one time. We're not going to talk about the one time because there were people. We're talking about God. God has never let us down. And the song we just sang earlier, you'll never let me down. You'll never let me down. He's always going to be there. Again, last Sunday I preached about obedience and to obey. And God is good to obey. He'll never, listen, you will never taste and see that God is good. You'll never taste and see that God is good if you're disobeying him. Can't. Remember the two different camps. You either are going to be obedient or disobedient. There's no middle ground. I'm sort of obedient, right? Doesn't work that way. I sort of did what you told me to do. I sort of cleaned my room, mom and dad, right? I sort of didn't kill that guy, right? It doesn't happen that way. If you don't see his goodness right now in your life, look at your obedience level. Look at if you're trusting him. Look at if you are following him. The problem is that you're seeing his correction. That's why you're thinking the way you're thinking about him. That's why you're seeing, well, maybe it's not so great to be here. That's a lie from the enemy to get you to walk away from him. How many of you know there are consequences to our actions? We have issues and problems, and we say, God, how come you letting this happen to me? It's like, well, how come you did that caused it, right? If we think about that thought, if we think about that, we're seeing his correction because of our disobedience. But today, about trust, we're going to talk about trusting God, man. To trust him is to obey him. We're going to talk about what trust brings. Y'all ready? First thing in your notes, the first point that we have is trusting God brings happiness. Trusting God brings happiness. We could say it in another way. Trusting God brings joy. Really, happiness is what happens to you, but But the circumstances that you're in, that's how happiness is. You're sad if the circumstances aren't the way that they're supposed to be. But joy is there. You remember the old hymn. And I'm not going to sing it for you. Because thank you, Jesus. Some of y'all said. But if you remember the old hymns, there was one called Trust and Obey. And it said, trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Right? When we trust him, you have to trust him. You have to put your trust in him and say, God, I don't understand. I don't know what's happening. I might not like my situation, but you have never let me down in the past. Do you know what was hilarious to me? That God did all these things to bring the Israelites out of Egypt, right? He delivered them from Egypt. They're starting to go and they're being pursued. And they're like, oh no, we're going to die because there's the Red Sea. There's the sea in front of us. And God's like, hey, just go across it. They walk across it. They turn around to see the enemies get swallowed by it. And then they go on. And then they start doubting again. And then they're like, God, you just brought us out here to kill us. But no, if he wanted to kill you, he's just letting them guys catch you at the Red Sea. You know what I mean? Thinking that thought. But he didn't bring us this far. He didn't bring them that far just to let them die. He had a place for them. He had a plan for them to walk in. And as long as they followed the plan, as long as they walked in it, they saw the provision of God, whether they appreciated it or not. 40 years in the wilderness, their clothes don't wear out. Look, I buy a pair of shoes in like a month, it's done. Right? Think that thought. Manna coming from the sky to feed them every day. Like, well, I don't like manna. Sorry, but at least you got something to eat. Cracks me up sometimes. You give somebody something like, hey, I'm so hungry. Can you help me out? I'm like, here, why don't you have this? I'm like, well, I don't like that. It's got that on it. I'm like, well, slide it off and just eat the rest of it. You know what I'm thinking? If you're really hungry. All right. How? We look at the Israelites and we say, man, that's crazy that you would act that way. Why don't you turn around and look at like the last year of your life? Just a thought. Turn around and look and say, well, I had this situation and I doubted you, God, but you answered it. And then we had the Crown Financial, the class they have, right? Every time they have a dinner. We had a dinner the other night, and it was hilarious. When we walked in, it was cool, not hilarious, but when we walked in, three of the prayers that they had been praying for the last couple weeks all had been answered. And we're like, wow, God's good, right? Like we were surprised it happened. That was why I was like, oh, wow, he answered it. That's amazing. I'm like, why is that amazing? God does those things all the time. But we forget about him. We stop trusting him. We stop saying, God, you did it here, and you did it here, and you did it here. And then I worried, and it was really big, and you did it here. And then there was a little thing that I was kind of worried about, and you did it there. But look, this little molehill that just jumped in my yard, I can't get over it. Look, what I don't know how to function. God, where are you at? He's like, look, I'm right here. I haven't gone anywhere. That's how he talks to me. Probably not to y'all. That's how he talks. Like, it's all right, though. It's okay, though. You got this, right? But we worry about these things that we don't need to worry about. We need to put our trust in him and allow him to do what only he can do. Our foundation scripture for this series is Psalms 34:8. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who takes refuge in him. Blessed is the one who looks at God and says, God, I'm going to trust you. I'm going to do what you want me to do. I'm going to put everything that I have in you. You know, this is the one time in life it's good to put all your eggs in one basket. When it's God's basket. That's when it's good to put everything in there. We need to do it. How many of you know, knowing what to do and actually doing it, two separate things. We know it, but when the waves come. We know that Jesus is always there, but when the waves come. So the kids next door, they're talking about their sermon series for this next 8 weeks. Actually, they're 3 weeks in on an eight-week series. It's called The Rock, and it's talking about the life of Peter. And talking about walking on water and talking about putting their faith in him and talking about that not letting the storms in life allow us to take our eyes off of the author and finisher of our faith. The one who is in control of everything. The one who is our provider and our healer. Do you know it's so simple to look at the waves and get scared? But that's when we have to say, I trust in you. And although I don't see it and I don't know how you're going to do it, you're going to do it. And I'm going to trust in you. And I love what Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego said. Daniel too. He said, God's going to deliver us. But if he doesn't, it's okay. That's okay too. Right? But do you know what? He didn't let them down. He delivered them. But why? They put their trust in him. How happy were they to walk out of the fiery furnace? How happy was Daniel to get out of the lion's den? How happy were his children when they saw the deliverance come from the Israelite or from the Egyptians chasing them? Trusting in God brings happiness. You'll never be truly happy until you put your trust in him. David said this, Psalms 28, verse 7 says, "The Lord is my strength and my shield. In him my heart trusts. And I am helped. My heart exults, and with my song I will give thanks to him." How many of you know we need to put our trust in him and allow him to do what only he can do, and then sing about it, praise him, tell people about it. God wants to fill us with joy, with happiness. But this is the problem. We find substitutions for God's joy in our lives. Let me say that. Let me take that back. That was wrong. That was an incorrect statement. That was incorrect. We try to find things to fill the joy and the happiness that God wants to bring to us. We try possessions, stuff to make us happy. We try hobbies to make us happy. Now, stuff is not bad. Hobbies is not bad. But if we put them where only God should be at, it makes us unhappy. It makes us miserable. Why? Because there is an order of where things are supposed to be at in our lives. And when we deviate from that, that's when sorrow comes. That's when sadness comes. That's when we find ourselves in left field and wondering, God, why have you left me? And it's not that God has left us. It's that we've walked away from him. But take heart, because he says he's close to the brokenhearted. He's there with us in left field. He wants to help us get back to our path. Amen? I'll try hobbies, food, sin, addictions to make me happy. But the problem is they only last for a minute. And then they leave you even more empty than you were before. More empty than you were before. God is the only thing that can bring true joy, true happiness through his son, Jesus Christ. So the first thing is trusting God brings happiness. The second thing, trusting God brings faith. So some of you say, well, trust and faith, isn't that the same thing? And it's like they're cousins. Trust and faith are like cousins. They're close, but they're not. Trust is a firm belief in the reliability, the truth, the ability, the strength of someone or something. We talked about that earlier. This is what faith is according to scriptures. Now, faith is the assurance of things hoped for and the conviction of things not seen. Trust brings faith, right? Trust brings faith. So if I trust in you, I have faith that you're going to do what you said. If I don't have trust in you, I can never have faith. Think that thought. If I don't trust, I can't have faith. This is what man says. Listen to this quote. Man says, "Show me and I will trust you." God says, "Trust me and I will show you." There's the difference between them. We believe in God that he's going to do things that we can't see, that we don't understand how he's going to do it, but we trust him, and what happens? He does it. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, it says, "But without faith it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him." So I have to have trust and faith in him to receive what he has for me. We have to believe in something that we can't see. So, I got a story for you. Y'all ready? It's about an acrobat. And it was famous. He was known for his daring high wire acts and on a tightrope that strung between the American and the Canadian side of Niagara Falls. All right? So, and this is going to trust faith. This is going to show you what it looks like. He had done this on several occasions with amazing stunts, pushing a wheelbarrow across a tightrope and without a net underneath him and a pole across to the other side. He balanced a chair. He put the chair on it. He balanced up on top of the chair, and he did all these different things. And this guy was just amazing on a tightrope. And he did all this over Niagara Falls, the big drop. And the crowd watching, man, erupted in applause. And when he made another successful pass across, and he said to them, he said, "Now that you've seen me do it once, do you believe that I can do it again?" And everybody's like, "Yeah, you can do it. Go, you got it." You know what I'm saying? They're all cheering and applauding him. And then he asked another question. "Do you believe that I could do this with a man on my back carrying someone across? Do you think that I could do it?" Everybody's like, yeah, you got this. You can do this. Do it with a guy on your back. Yeah, this is amazing." And then the acrobat looked at them and he said, "Now that you guys are so sure that I can do it, which one of you are going to come get on my back as I walk across?" Crickets chirping. Nobody wanted to do it. "I can do it as long as I can have faith, as long as it's not me that's in the middle of it. I can have faith that God can do anything when I'm not in the middle of it." All the people that had professed faith and trust in this God that he can do it, you can do it, suddenly had no faith whatsoever. Why? Because they were the ones that were standing, about to be standing, and having faith that it could happen. Sometimes in our issues and our struggles and our problems, we have faith that everybody else can be answered. But when we're in the middle of it, it's a different story. James 2:17. "So also, faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead." Faith without works is dead. We can say we trust in God all we want, but until we're ready to take a step out of that boat and start walking on the water, we talked about this before, how God said that he would stop up the sea that was coming down. This is in a different section of the scripture. Another time that God stopped the waters, and he said, as soon as your people step in foot into the water and start walking in the water will dry up. And if you remember, and I can't remember the exact places, but I remember that it was 34 miles upstream that God started to dam the water as they stepped in. Do you know how a stream flows? If it is going 34 miles, how many of you know they were probably at least waist deep before it quit? Think that thought. Sometimes we got to start walking, and even though we don't see the provision coming at this minute, if God said that's where we're going, we're going to keep going, even if it feels like it's coming up around us, even if it feels like we can't do this, even if it feels like we're about to be overrun by it. If God has told us to do it, then we need to do it and trust in him that he's going to take care of it. Do you know it's really easy for the guy that's way in the back to be like, "Yeah, just keep on going, Fred, you'll be all right." Right? It's easy for that to happen. It's another story if we're Fred in the front. Like, "God, I thought you said. God, but wait, God, did I miss you, God?" No, keep going. We talked about Nam last week, dipping in the river 7 times, right? What if you'd be like, "Man, I dipped 5 times and I ain't seen a thing, not a spot leave yet. Man, I still ain't got my left finger and I'm just sitting here and he ain't answered me." Wow. Keep going. Don't give up. Keep walking in it. The Living Bible says it like this. "So you see, it isn't enough to just have faith. You must also do good to prove that you have it. Faith that doesn't show itself by good works is no faith at all. It is dead and useless." Faith without me acting on it isn't faith. Trusting God brings faith in our life. As we trust Him, we have faith that He will answer it. We will have faith that we can step out, that we can start walking in it, that healing is coming, that we need to just continue to trust Him. Brings faith. Third thing, you ready? Trusting God brings peace. I love this point. Peace is something that you cannot purchase. You can't buy it. It's not something you can borrow from someone else. Peace is something that you have to trust God to give you. And He's the only one that can give it to you by His Spirit. John chapter 14, verse 27, Jesus says this, says, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you, not as the world gives, do I give to you. Let your hearts not be troubled, neither let them be afraid." Jesus gives us peace. The Holy Spirit gives us peace. That's one of the things, that's one of the fruit of the Spirit. That's if we're walking in the Spirit and we're allowing the Spirit to control our lives and we're walking in Him, that's one of the things that will come for it, from it, is peace. There's a little saying, and again, it's a play on words, and I said it a couple weeks ago, no Jesus, no peace. No Jesus, absence of Jesus, the absence of peace. But if you know Jesus, then you know what peace is. You have a knowledge, you have a heart knowledge of what peace is if you walk in Him. So if you don't have Jesus, you won't have peace. You may think you have peace at this moment, but the smallest thing is going to upset you and turn your world upside down, and turmoil is going to come. So you know, I've been talking to you guys about, I have learned to be content, right? I've learned. Do you know, as I've been asking God to help me and to show me in that, do you know what? I've had some messed up abilities to learn to be content, to not be happy with what I have, or to be content with what I've got and say, God, man, you know what you're doing. You're in control. It's going to be okay. Do you know that I've had that over the last 2-3 weeks? It's been hitting me hard. Why? Jesus, like, you want to learn to be content? Here you go, son. Right? I said, huh. Opportunities. Why am I upset and frustrated at God for giving me opportunities to do what I asked Him to do already? We pray for peace. We pray for patience. We pray for all these different things. We pray for God to help us to love unlovable people. Guess what? Here comes some unlovable people, one right after the other. Right? I'm like, God, how come all these unlovable people are coming? I'm like, didn't you just ask me for, like, look, I'm trying to help you here. Like, He doesn't talk to y'all that way, but He does me, right? This is, I'm trying to, you asked for it, and now you got it. Now you're mad at me because I gave it to you, right? This is one of the things, when you ask for peace, there's going to be some turmoil come in your life that you're going to have to trust God for to have peace. And if you don't, you're not going to have it. You're not going to have it. This is the formula for peace in the Scripture. Philippians 4, 6, and 7, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. The Living Bible says it like this, don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. This is that point right there, that part right there, again, is where knowing Him makes the difference. It's a relationship. It says, tell God your needs and don't forget to thank Him for His answers. Like, well, I haven't gotten them yet, but they're coming. Go ahead and thank Him for them. God, thank you that you're going to answer this prayer, that I don't see it coming. I don't know when it's coming. I don't have the right time. The scripture that I read earlier, David says, God, I'm praying to you that in the right time, you're going to answer me. That when it's the appropriate time, you're going to give me what I need. You're going to allow me to have everything that I need in my life. Don't forget to thank Him for His answers. If you do this, look, if you do this, this is the thing. Some of us will do this and some of us won't do this. Some of us will go to God and we'll give Him everything and we'll thank Him for the answers that are coming. Some of us will just freak out and run around like a chicken with our head cut off, like, dear God, where are you at? Do you know what? Peace doesn't come to us that way, according to Scripture, right? Some of us will, some of us won't. It says, if you do this, you will experience God's peace, which is far more wonderful than the human mind can understand. His peace will keep your thoughts and your hearts quiet and at rest as you trust in Christ Jesus. God's formula for peace? Don't worry. Do you know what worry is? Worry is worshiping the problem instead of the problem solver. Worship is making bigger the problem bigger and bigger and putting it in God's place in your life. That's what worry is. Don't worry about anything. Pray about everything. Thank Him for the answers. If you do this, you will experience peace. Trusting in God brings peace. If you worship the problem, you'll become anxious, depressed, and absolutely have zero peace. No peace. And anything that brings a semblance of peace will be gone in an instant. And then you'll be looking for it again. The reason why is because you're focused on the wrong thing. You're focused on the worry, the problem, instead of the problem solver, as I said earlier. Trust in God brings peace. We need to trust Him. Amen? Another thing that that does is it brings hope. Trust in God brings hope. If we look two verses back, a couple of verses back, 6:19, we'll have this. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19. We have this assured and steadfast anchor of the soul, a hope that enters into the inner place behind the curtain. It enters into the inner place behind the curtain. Now, at this time when he wrote Hebrews, the curtain had been ripped from the top to the bottom. Do you guys, when Christ died on the cross, there was a loud noise, Scripture says, and that the curtain was ripped from God to earth, not from man to God, showing that God initiated the relationship with us. God started it and made a way so that we could come to Him. He's the one that ripped the curtain. In the Old Testament, the curtain separated people from the presence of God. We couldn't have the presence of God. The Spirit of God didn't live inside of us. What we see in the Old Testament is the Spirit of God came upon someone and left. Read it time and time again. The Spirit of the Lord came upon him and this happened. It didn't dwell with him all the time. It wasn't a part of what was going on. What happened when that curtain was ripped from top to bottom is it gave us access to God, and it allowed the Spirit to be with us all the time. We aren't separated from His presence. We have Him always. That's one of the things that we need to understand. And because of that, Romans chapter 15 says this, I pray that God, the source of hope, will fill you completely with joy and peace because you trust Him. Then you will overflow with a confident hope through the power of the Holy Spirit. And sorry, that's the New Living Translation. I didn't put the other one on here. I apologize for that. The source of hope. Our source of hope is God. Our source of hope is Him, so that we can be a part of Him. We can be close to Him. We can trust to Him. When we trust Him, hope comes in our life. Why? Because we don't look at the situation anymore as being overwhelming. Why? Because we know, God, you're going to take care of it. I don't have to be anxious. I don't have to be worried. I don't have to be frustrated. Hope has come into my life. And now, I believe that you're going to take care of this. I have faith that you're going to take care of this. I trust in you that you're going to take care of this. I'm about to close. And I'm gonna tell this one story before I do it. So one night a house caught fire and a young boy was forced to escape to the second floor. The first floor was engulfed in flames and it started to reach the second. The father stood on the ground underneath them calling, y'all, I'm gonna cry, y'all, sorry. Calling to his son, jump and I'll catch you. He knew the boy had to jump in order to save his life. But all the boy could see was the flames and the smoke and the blackness. He couldn't see his dad. He couldn't see the ground. But he could hear him calling out to him. As can be imagined, he was afraid to jump from the second floor. His father kept yelling, "Jump, I'll catch you." But the boy said with tears in his eyes, "Daddy, I can't see you." But the father replied, "All that matters is that I can see you." In our situation, God knows right where we are. He is waiting on us to jump, to step out, to say, "God, your word says it, so I'm going to walk on it, even if I don't see it. Even if I don't see how your provision is going to come, even though I don't see how this sickness is going to end, even though I don't see my finances and where they're going to be at, even though I don't see my kids and how they're going to come to you, I don't see these things. But God, I am going to trust in you, and I'm going to keep walking even though I can't see. I'm going to keep stepping even though I don't see an end to it. Even though I feel trapped, I'm going to keep walking in the ways that you have told me to walk in." Even if you feel the fire of the trial, the battle that's coming, and you can't see God, you can't hear him. He speaks to us. How does he do it? Through his word, through his Holy Spirit in our hearts. Different ways. And this is the thing, man. God wants you to trust him today. With everything that you have. With everything that you have. Not holding anything back. Giving him your everything. I want you to bow your heads, close your eyes. Today, no matter where you're at, what place you're in, you need to trust God. If you're on a mountaintop, you need to trust God. Because you know what happens when you get to the top of the mountain? It goes down, right? There's mountains, there's valleys. We're going to walk through those things in our lives. Jesus doesn't say, if you have temptation. He said, in this world, you will have it. You will have trials. You will have problems. You will have issues. And what God wants us to do is to jump even though we don't see him. He wants us to walk in his ways, even if we don't understand how they're going to bring us to the end of the road. Even though we can't see it, God does things in ways we can't see. You might be starting brand new today, man, and you want to have a relationship with him. I talked about how relationship is the only way to know peace, to know God, to know Jesus is to know peace. Maybe you don't know him. Maybe you don't have a relationship with him. Maybe your whole life you've been told about who he is and what he is, but you don't really know him. You haven't accepted him. The gift that he's given to us as we celebrated earlier today. This is what I want you to do this morning. I want you to taste and see that God is good. I want you to trust him. And I want you to see what happens when you step out in faith. When you trust God and say, no matter what goes on, God, I'm going to trust you. Even if I don't see, even if it gets worse before it gets better, God, I'm still not going to take my eyes off you. I'm still going to trust you in the middle of it. I want to invite you this morning to accept his love, grace, and mercy. The Bible tells us that we've all sinned, that we all have issues. Says that what we need to do is believe in our hearts and confess with our mouths. Again, believing is something that nobody can make you do. You have to do it on your own. You have to accept the fact that Jesus came because God sent him so that we could have access to him. And then by doing everything that he did, it allows us to be a part of the family, adopted in. That's why we say a prayer. Confess with our mouth. Believe in our hearts. Confess in our mouth. And I'm going to say it right now. I want you to say it with me. Say, "Dear Heavenly Father, sorry for my sins. Things I've done that aren't pleasing to you. Right now, I give you my life. The good, the bad, and everything in the middle. I ask that you help me now be who you created me to be. Thank you for allowing me to be part of the family. In Jesus' name, amen." Amen. God's good to us. Listen, you're going to have some opportunities to trust him this week. I promise you. You're going to have some opportunities to look for peace in your life this week. Trust in him, man. Don't walk away from him. Don't look towards other things to help you solve your problems. look to God and let him give you the peace that passes understanding. Let him show you how he will take care of your life when you give it to him. I want you guys to have that opportunity. You guys ready? I want you to stand up. We're going to sing a song as we get ready to go out of here. And I am going to, I'm going to pray one more time for you guys. I want you just to lift your hands. Dear Heavenly Father, this morning, I thank you, Father God, that you've given me these people to be a part of my life, to encourage me, to lift me up, to help me when I fall down, Father God, to rejoice with me when I'm on the mountaintops. And I thank you that I get to be a part of their lives as well, Father God. I ask right now as we go out these doors that a blessing that comes from your word that is on your children rest upon us this week. That we would allow your spirit to lead us and guide us, and that we would walk in the ways that you have for us, Father God. And I ask that you would let us not look at the problems or the issues or the great things that happened yesterday and focus on them today. Let us remember what happened yesterday, the good and the bad, and allow it to help direct our life today. But let us look forward to what you have for us and to who you created us to be, and let us walk in it now. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen, amen, amen. All right, we're gonna sing a song as we go out today. We're going to do it a little bit different. Instead of singing and just singing the whole time, we're just going to exit out and have a good time. You guys have an amazing week. Amen.